I find it interesting that although Romans 8:7 tells us and teaches us that the unsaved are hostile to God, I find it interesting that they still love to use biblical terms. Terms like a drop in the bucket, Isaiah 40:15. Terms like the apple of my eye, Psalm 17:8. Terms like the skin of my teeth, Job 19:20. And a man after my own heart, Acts 13:22. They love to use biblical terms, although they're hostile to God. So I thought it might be only fair that I borrow one of their terms. This is a new term, relatively new, a nothing burger. And I found a verse that really shows us what a nothing burger is. It's in Mark 7:6-7. Thus saith the Lord. He answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now let's ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to this. Spirit of God, we come to you humbly but boldly. We come to you under the banner of Christ, and we come to you with his word, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to your people, speak to each one individually, every heart. Bring comfort where comfort is needed. Bring joy where joy is needed. Bring conviction where conviction is needed. Whatever pleases you, speak to your people through me. Let me just be the vessel. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Recently, worldlings have created a new political term, which I think is an excellent illustration of a spiritual condition that's common in the 21st century evangelical church. The term is a nothing burger. A nothing burger refers to a situation that implies something important has occurred. It could be a statement, it could be an event, it could be anything else that seems important. But the reality is, the important thing is really of no significance. A nothing burger is a metaphor for something that appears to have that appears to be valuable, but is of no value at all. It's like a burger with no meat in it. If all you have are the buns without the meat, you have a nothing burger. In our text, Jesus tells the Pharisees the way they honor and worship God is in reality a nothing burger. He begins verse 6 by calling them hypocrites. Then he tells them why they're hypocrites. You know, that's what I love about God. He doesn't leave things undone. He doesn't leave things to our imagination. Hey, you're hypocrites, and here's why you're hypocrites. This people honors me, he says, with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. After calling them a hypocrite, Jesus tells them all he gets from these people is lip service. That's what he's saying. These religious leaders of Israel, they talked the talk, but they didn't do the walk. They quoted the law, but they couldn't live by it. Matthew 15:5-6. They claimed holiness, but they were full of hypocrisy and sin. Matthew 23:28. And they claimed to teach the truth about the Messiah, but in essence, they held it back. They taught false doctrine. Matthew 23:13. Let me ask, does that sound familiar to you? Does any of what I just said sound familiar to you? Listen, I don't hesitate to say that the 21st century evangelical church is filled with hypocrisy and liars. I have no qualms in saying that. False teachers are still twisting, adding, and misrepresenting God's word. Right now, as we sit here, in thousands of churches, that's happening. Liberal Protestant Christians contradict the Bible by calling evil good and good evil. They give doctrine. They take God's doctrine and they replace it what they want, not what God wants. God says same-sex marriage is an abomination. And they say that's not true. They're calling God a liar. and Christian cults. For example, the Church at Rome, Mormons, Christian Sciences, Jehovah's Witnesses, and the list goes on and on. These cults distort the doctrines of God. They change them. What Jesus told the Pharisees, he's telling most of the evangelical church today. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I dare say there are churches across the country today you can't even get into. Some churches have 7,000, 8,000 people in it. And they love to sing, and they love to pray, but their hearts are not with God. How do we know that's true? Because there's no revivals. Everywhere you look, people are talking about this doctrine and that doctrine, and it is absolutely contradicting God's word. That's how we know. In God's view, that's what our text is telling us, in God's view, lip service is a nothing burger. It has no value to God. He doesn't care about it. It's worthless. It's no value to our Creator because it doesn't glorify Him. He gets no praise from it. And He isn't honored with lip service. You don't honor God with lip service. You can sit in a church or in your home or in a car. You can sit in a taxi cab or a boat and you can say, well, Lord, thank you so much for this and thank you so much for that. And then go on about your life living in sin. He doesn't, that's a nothing burger. He gets nothing out of that. And neither do you. People who give God lip service are deceiving themselves. There's nothing in that for them. The only way God can be worshipped or honored is when He is worshipped in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. The command, only by giving God our mind, our soul, and our heart can we worship Him in the Spirit. You need all three of those things to worship God in the Spirit. Your mind, your soul, that's your intelligence, and your heart. The command to worship God in the Spirit, of course, is found at the woman at the well in John 4:24. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. That means anything other than spiritual, heartfelt worship is a nothing burger to God. You sit in a church and you worship God and your heart is not in what you're saying, what you're praying, what you're giving. If your heart isn't into it, it's a nothing burger. It's valueless to Him. All other types of worship, all worship that is not prescribed by Scripture is worthless and it is rejected. Because it's not what He prescribes. Now some people will say, well, how can that be? Matthew 7:21-23. Speaking about nothing burgers, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's from the heart. You do God's will. You're not just talking about it. You're living it because you're doing it with your heart. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and then done many wonders in your name? They did all that. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They did all of those things. They said all of those things, but their heart wasn't in it. That's why I say when we're in church, you sing a hymn. I don't care if you've got a good voice, a lousy voice. The Bible says all we need is to make a joyful noise. And that joyful noise is just your heart is on fire when you sing hymns. This is my Father's world. Trust and obey. Your heart should be into that the same way it is when you pray. Everything we do for God has to be heartfelt. That's spirit worship. And without it, it's not. It's a nothing burger. Look at verse 7. Here Jesus gives us the result of just giving Him lip service. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That first term, in vain they worshiping, means however great the grandeur of the worship ceremony. There are some churches that are so decorated you think you're in heaven. As a matter of fact, that's why they decorate them that way. When you look up in the ceiling, you see clouds and angels and all those different things, and all those statues are all around you. You're like in glory there. Doesn't matter if your heart's not in it. It's a nothing burger. Regardless of how many attended, there are people who seem to think numbers are important. I would remind you that the first church had 12 people in it. But they had a heartfelt faith for Christ. So it's never about the numbers in the Bible. It's always about the purity, the quality. Oh, it doesn't matter what words or offering are presented. It doesn't matter if a preacher gets up here and he tells you this and he tells you that and they're wonderful. It doesn't matter if his heart isn't in it. It's a nothing burger. You're going to get, it's like having two buns without the meat in it. You got nothing there. Be like the Wendy's commercial. Where's the beef? And because of a cold heart, God, or a lukewarm heart, God will reject that type of worship. It's a nothing burger to him. All of those things is a nothing burger to him, because heartless worship is worthless. It has no value to God whatsoever. If your heart's not in it, don't even waste your time. I have a biblical proof about that, that God rejects man's will worship. And Joe read it in our scripture reading, Isaiah 1:12 through 15. Let me read that little section for you. Here's what he says to Israel. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? That isn't a welcome committee. He's not welcome. He said, why did you come? You just trampled my courts. Bring no more futile sacrifices, incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of the assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. I just heard somebody say the other day, God never used the word hate. And I'm yelling at the television screen. Yes, he has. He hated Esau. And he also hates appointed feasts. They are trouble to me, he goes on to say. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Doesn't mean he doesn't hear. It means I'm not going to respond to them. It's a nothing burger. What you're doing is valueless in my eyes. You know, we need to think about that, even as believers. You know, even believers can give God nothing burgers. I was talking to somebody not long ago, and they had a problem for several years, and they couldn't get over it. And they said, I repented, and I asked God to forgive me, And I got all done, and I just listened, and I said, well, I know what the problem is. And they said, what? I said, you're still in your sin. You're still in your sin because you repented, but you never turned around and changed direction. That's what repentance means. So all of your prayers for yourself, for your family, for all the people that ask you to pray, they were nothing burgers because you still have iniquity in your heart. You need to repent, and repent means turn direction, change. So if you've been doing these things for a while and you want to get rid of them, you just can't go to God and say, Lord, forgive me, I repent of it, and then go back to your sin. You can't do that. So when you pray or you worship, it's a nothing burger. There's no value to it. Your heart can't be in it. You're still in your sin. The last thought in verse 7 gives us another reason why the Pharisees' worship was a nothing burger. Teaching his doctrines the commandments of men. You know, when I read this and I think about it and I think of all the weird things people have told me in the context, how they've taken it out and how they've put all these traditional things and said, yeah, that's important. This is God's way and this is God's. Well, then I say, how come it's not in here? How come it's not in here? Well, it's supposed to be. He knows it. That's what he wants. Well, that's not true. He says right here teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What the Pharisees were doing were they were teaching that their ceremonial things that they added and their traditions, they were equal to God's law. And that's what they do today. That's what many heretics do today. They say, oh, no, you have the wrong context of that. God loves everybody. Well, the context of that is wrong. And so when you use things that are not of God or traditional and you use them in the place and give them equal value of God's word, it's a nothing burger. It's valueless. It means nothing. You could believe it. You could go to the ground believing it. You could give your life believing it. It's a nothing burger. That's how God views everything that's valueless, everything that comes to him that's not in this book. And you know what that does? When you teach that traditions are equal to God's word, it undermines God's word. It undermines it. So why would he, that is God, accept their worship? Why would he accept the Pharisees' worship? Why would he accept any worship from anybody if they're using traditions to undermine his word? Why would they? He wouldn't. He wouldn't accept it. And as a matter of fact, if you made a contract up and somebody wanted to add things to it, what would you tell them? No, this is the contract. This is the covenant right here, this book. And anything outside of this book, and a matter of fact, at the end of this book, in the book of Revelations, it says if anybody adds anything to it or takes it away, the curse of the book is going to be put on them. It's a nothing burger. And I tell you what he told the Pharisees is true today. If you add to God's word or you take it from it, your worship is worthless. I've told people, if you only come to church so that you can feel good, that you can throw some money in the bucket and figure you did your duty, stay home and keep your money. Really. Go fishing. Plant some flowers. Because coming to church is doing you no good. And although it may seem important and holy to you, to God it's a nothing burger. Furthermore, if you offer God prayer with an unrepentant heart or with sin in your heart, that's a nothing burger. How many times have people done that? Look at a simple thing called fear. What is fear? Fear is unbelief. It's a sin. It's a mother sin. It creates all these other sins. So if you have fear in your heart, or any other type of sin, and you go to God and say, well, Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that I can come to you, and I can do this and that, and please, Lord, and you have all these wonderful flowery words, and you're really sorry, and you might even have a few tears in it. If you have sin in your heart, it's a nothing burger. He's not listening. He's not going to respond to that. We need to remember that he's holy, he's righteous, and everything that we do for him or with him has to be done according to his prescription. And if we don't, I say it again, it's a nothing burger. Your prayer is worthless because you can't ask God to forgive you if you haven't turned away from your sin. You can't do that. It's also important to note that our walk with God can sometimes be a nothing burger because we neglect our relationship with him. We don't put him in front of our day. We don't make him our strength and our shield. We don't commune often with him. We allow people and unbelief to rob us of our blood-bought joy. All of those things disrupt the relationship. These are the things that cause us to have a nothing burger day. That's what I like to call it, a nothing burger day. When you cut God out of the equation, that's what you have. When you cut him out, you cut out the one that loves us with an everlasting love. When you cut that person out, you have a nothing burger day. You see, beloved, we're without excuse. Believers here, we don't have an excuse for having a nothing burger. Why? Because he gave us the faith to believe and the faith to move mountains. Ephesians 2:8 and Matthew 21:21. He imputed to us the obedience of our Savior, Ezekiel 36:27. He gave us the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16. He gave us the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. He gave us hundreds of promises that is impossible for them to fail, 1 Corinthians 2:12. And he gave us the promise of eternal life, 1 John 2:25. Our Savior has bought, paid for, and delivered to his people a package of gifts that exceeds our understanding. We have those, so we're without excuse. And he did that. He gave us all of that stuff so that we would not ever have a nothing burger day. And I tell you, as his minister, he fully expects, God fully expects his people to offer up to him prayers and worship that are whoppers. He wants you to put everything in your life in his hands. Psalm 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your... Excuse me. It's not Psalm. I think it's Proverbs. Proverbs, right? Yeah. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall guide your path. That's what he wants you to do. And if you do that, you will never have a day, a nothing burger day, ever. Because he's equipped you to do that. He wants you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, 8. And he wants you to know, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save him. The Lord preserves all who love him. Psalm 145, 18 and 20. That's yours. He's near to all who call upon him. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He's also hears their cry. He'll save them and preserve them. You can't have all of that and believe that in your heart and have a nothing burger day. You can't, because you have everything. There's not one thing you're lacking. And everything is overlapped. For example, in addition to Psalm 145, 18 and 20, how about Psalm? How about Romans 8, 28? All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. How can you have a nothing burger day with that? There's only one way. Your will. Your will. Your flesh. That battle of Romans 7 between you and yourself. Every day you're going to fight no one that's a harder fight than you have in fighting your own will and your flesh. God has even equipped you for that. He says, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. That takes care of the world. And he also says that you are no longer in bondage to sin. That takes care of flesh and the will, because you have so much going for you. You should never have a no burger day, a nothing burger day. In your prayers, in your worship, in anything you say or do, give him a whopper. And you know what a whopper is to God? I'm using hamburger terms because that's the theme. You know what a whopper is to God? To me, it's I love the whopper, the Burger King whopper. I love it. But a whopper to God is exactly the same thing. Give him everything you have. He wants your life. He wants to walk with you. He wants to care for you. He wants to get you from this place to that place, to transition from this world to the next world. And he wants you, because at his right hands are pleasures forevermore. And he wants you there. You are his inheritance. You. And you. And you. And you. And all you have to do is understand that you're going to give him a whopper instead of a nothing burger. That's the difference. Oh, and by the way, remember, special orders don't upset them. For those who right now are listening to this and have only been able to offer God a nothing burger because they are outside of Christ, if you feel this message has stirred your heart, if that's the case, you call me. or see me after the service, and I'll show you in his word how he wants you to never have another nothing burger day. And it's my prayer that God may be honored and worshiped by the preaching of his word, this word. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, you have given us all that we need for anything. There is nothing that we have need of. We have everything in this life and everything in the life to come. God, would first of all, I can speak for myself, would you forgive me, Lord, for all the nothing burger days I offered you? And Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us here give you a whopper, give you ourselves, our lives, and everything in our lives. Would you help us to do that? Help us to never have another day where there's a nothing burger on our lips. Help us to do that for your glory and our good, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Closing hymn.